How many of you are glad you're here this morning? You glad you're here this morning? Lots of folks gone, but we're here, huh? You know, it was a wonderful time. We had a lot of people in our class Wednesday night. How many of you were in the Understanding God class Wednesday night? Wave your hand. How would you describe that time in that room? Was that just blow your mind? It was just power of God was just incredible. I had one of my friends, Pastor Bill Carter, and who you'll be seeing him. We're putting together a Sunday night series. I don't know, it might be 4 weeks or something. We're not sure yet. Called Practicing the Power. Everybody say Practicing the Power. It's stemming from a book that I read from a man that I'm kind of getting to know, Sam Storms. If you don't know him, you're going to get to know him. Incredible teacher. All right, there we go. I didn't want you to hear my cough really loud, and then it didn't work. But anyway, he's going to be with us. Pastor Bill Carter will be as one of the speakers. We have several people that are going to teach. It's going to be a Sunday night kind of series. And we're going to have Sam's book will be here shortly. You want to get the book. He's a former cessationist who traveled all over the country telling people this Holy Spirit stuff's a bunch of bunk. We don't believe in it. Here's why, here's the scriptures, here's the twisted scriptures. And he connected with Pastor Jack Hayford in a meeting that he didn't agree with in California, got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everything else changed. How many of you know, when you get connected to the power of the Holy Ghost, everything changes. You can't be the same. You can't be the same because you receive power. When you receive power, when something hits you, you get changed, right? When you come in contact with something like that, someone like that, you get changed. I came in contact with a whole lot of sun at the car show because the tent blew away. Guess what? I'm changed. So I told somebody earlier, I said, I can say something super embarrassing and I won't change colors today because I'm just red. So if I get embarrassed, you won't know it. I want to read something. This is not up there. You guys don't have this up there, but I want to just lay a little foundation here. Somebody say the manifestation of the Spirit. Say that. I just want to read this. This isn't on the screen, but did you bring your Bible? Did you bring your Bible? You got your Bible? Do you know every kid in Transformation Station brings their Bible with them? You know? Sometimes people hold their phone up and say, that's my Bible. And Bishop said in the service once, he said, what if your phone battery goes dead and you need a word from the Lord from the Scripture? What are you going to do? I'm going to read from the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, one of my favorite study Bibles. A lot of my students have this Bible. If you're one of those students, I'm on page 1646. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is Paul talking, right? Listen to what it says. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching, say my speech and my preaching, it says, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Isn't it amazing that the rulers of this age are going to come to nothing? They think there's something, they're going to come to nothing. That's what it says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they, had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, everybody say it is written. This is what it says. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart. You can't even comprehend the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. How many of you know there's deep things of God? So if there are deep things of God, what does that also mean? There might be some things that aren't so deep. There are deep things, but there are some surface things that some people get. Everybody doesn't get the deep things. How many of you want to get the deep things? Now, some of you might be afraid of deep things. I'm gonna tell you something, and I won't get embarrassed because I'm already sunburned. But please don't after service say, "Oh, Mark, I'll teach you. I'll show you how to do that." Don't do that. Don't do that. But I'm not. I can't swim. How many of you can't swim? You can't swim. You can't swim. A few of you. Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. We'll have our own meeting after church, right? Kat will try to take me out, and we go on vacation. She almost does it every time. I love water. I love swimming pools. I love boats. I love all that stuff. She'll be out in the water. Is she in there helping with the dinner? Good. Okay. So, and she goes, "Oh, honey, just lay here. Just float. Put your head back." I kid you not. I'm not kidding. I can't believe I'm telling you this, but I am. So I'm stuck now, so I got to finish. So I'll go like this, and I am not kidding. I literally go, and I flip upside down. I get all water in my mouth. I start flailing like a whatever flails. I don't know what flails, but she's like, "Just relax. Put your head back." I you're going to have this visual in your head. So, and she'll go, "Oh, come out here. It's easier out here because you're in the shallow water and it's too easy. Get out here in the deep and it's easy. You just float." Yeah, I like the deep things of God. I don't like things that are, I'm a little afraid of heights, a lot afraid of heights, really afraid of heights, I guess. I don't like standing on anything that's higher than I am tall, which greatly limits my climbing adventures. And if I can't touch the bottom with my feet, even, I'm only whatever I am. I'm not going to say how tall I am because Kat disagrees with it, but I'm right. I can't help it. So she's a few inches off. I can't help it. So anyway, so if I'm in like 6 feet of water, I'm okay because I can touch the bottom and bounce back up and kind of be good. If it's like 8 feet of water, I can't handle that. We were on a trip, and we were in Haiti. We're in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and I got the guts up to go snorkeling, right? So I got snorkeling. I said, "I am not snorkeling unless I get all the gear." And she's out there with her little raft thing and getting ready to go in the water. I can't believe I'm telling you this. I'm glad I'm tan already and burnt. I got flip-flops on. I got the frog feet, you know, I got the hook, you know. They had this little blow-up vest thing that you wear, and it kind of helps you float. You blow it up to go up, and you let it go, and you go down. So we go. She has to be on the land, so she lays her little raft thing down. She gets on it, pushes herself out. She's floating out there. I'm starting to walk, and they're like, "Hey, go out. It's only like 8 or 10 feet deep." But I have snorkel stuff on, so I think I'm okay. I go under the water. I'm waving the cat. She's right here above me. I'm like, "Hey, I'm going down. I'm going down." bye, honey. I don't know what she meant by that, but till afterward. But anyway, so I get under there, and they have like this airplane with all this coral on it growing, you know. So I'm down there with my snorkel stuff on, and all of a sudden, all these little fish start hitting me, like hundreds of these, like all different color fishes start hitting me. I'm thinking, there's a shark or something in this water. I'm trying to get out. It took me enough to get down there to begin with. Now I'm scared the bejeebies out of me. And my thing came out of my mouth. I'm drinking water. And I'm frailing. Yes, I feel the thing. I feel the love. And I see this shadow above me. And all I could do, I just grabbed it and I pulled myself up. When I pulled myself up, I pulled her off the raft. We're out in the middle. She didn't like that very much. No, I would never scuba dive. Are you crazy? Get some discernment, sister. I'm talking 10 feet deep. She said, did you scuba dive? No. So anyway, so I don't function well. I was afraid to go, and I'm still afraid of deep water. I don't know why. Some people are like frogs and fish. I just can't do that. Oftentimes, I think we get afraid of the deep things of God because we've never been there, right? You've never been there. Has he ever told you something that's, wow, that was deep, you know? If you want to hear something deep, listen to Pastor Ben preach for 5 minutes, and you'll go, ooh, that cat. As Dan Slagle would say, that cat can preach. That cat's got some stuff, right? He says cat. Everything's cat. I say cat, but when he says cat, it's a different. He means cat for everybody. Now, look, watch this. Listen to this. However, we speak wisdom among you who are mature, yet wisdom not of this age, but of rulers to come, he says. Then he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, everybody say deep things. Deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things which we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Say the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we, everybody say we. We have what? What's it say in your Bible? We have what? Everybody say, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, right? And Jesus, just before he left, before he ascended into heaven, let's look at this. He said in Acts 1:8, I want to read 7 and 9, if we have that up there, let's do it. Acts 1:8, it's actually 1, 7 through 9. This is what it says. Read it. Read with me. Outside voice. Go. Jesus replied, go. It is not for you to know the times or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, they watched as he was taken up, and a cloud hid him by their sight. Wow. You shall receive power. Now, there are some groups that say when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive tongues. I think that's part of it. But Jesus didn't actually mention that yet, because you don't receive tongues until you receive the power. You don't receive the gifts of the Spirit until you receive power. You can't function in the fruits of the Spirit without the power. Everybody say, you shall receive power. Okay? The church was never meant to operate on human ability alone. Jesus didn't send his disciples out with good intentions and all this education or talent. Hey, we're going to pick him because he's really good at this. No, he promised them what? Power, right? Everybody say power.
Power.
You realize that's the last thing he said before he ascended, right? And the same Holy Spirit who empowered the early churches, it's still moving today. How many of you believe that? It's the same Holy Spirit. It's not a different one. It's not like there's some Holy Spirit that was back then and now it's different now. No, it's the same Spirit that even raised Christ from the dead. So even before Acts chapter 2, it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives somewhere. Where does he live? In you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, what are you going to be able to do? You're going to do things that you couldn't do on your own. Amen? We're going to look at a couple things. We're going to hit the promise of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, touch on the gifts a tad. Maybe we'll throw some fruit in. We'll see how far we get. Okay? The promise of the Holy Spirit. All through the Old Testament, God promised there's going to be a day when he will pour his Spirit out on his people. Right? Joel said it. And Joel, let's look at this. Joel chapter 2. And read this. And it shall come to... Read with me. Go. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my Spirit... If it's in bold print, read it louder. Upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. There are some churches that think women don't have a place in the church. If you keep reading in verse 29, on your manservants, those are what? Men. On your maidservants or your women servants, those are women. Men and women. Nobody's exempt in this time. Now, there was a time in the Bible, and we know that. We're way past Paul preaching and the women sitting over here, the men sitting over here, and Kat goes, Mark, I don't understand what the guy's saying. And Paul goes, shh. Let the women be silent in the church. The Baptists took that and said, ooh, we like that verse. Let's shut the women up. We need one for a secretary because women make copies. That's all they're good at. They can't do anything else, so they made all their women secretaries. They wouldn't even let some of them do the announcements in the church, right? I always thought it was kind of strange that now it's changed a little bit, but when I was a kid, I never went to kindergarten, but from first grade all the way through 12th grade, 90% of my teachers were women. In college, half of my teachers were women. So they can teach you from a little child up through high school, teach you everything that you learn for life, but they can't teach you from here? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, churches need two things. They need a father figure. They need a spiritual father. They need a spiritual mother. Guess what? Spiritual fathers can't be spiritual mothers, you know? How many of you remember the Pastor Don and Pauline days? How many of you remember? How many of you never met Pastor Don ever in your life? Raise your hand. Look at that. We got some newbies, right? Wasn't it amazing that he was a unique guy. He looked like Billy Graham if you never met him, kind of. He looked like Billy Graham, and he's just a common dude, you know? Nothing flowery about him. About as plain as you could get. I mean, as far as how he talked, don't have a heart attack. and then Pastor Pauline would get up and teach. She was a mother. He was a father. She would get up and, oh, my word, you know. And I said, tell me a woman can't teach or preach in a church. Whoa. Whoever said that needs to talk to her because she can do it. There's a lot of women. Now, there is a lot of women that are preachers and teachers that probably shouldn't be, and there's a lot of men that are preachers and teachers that probably shouldn't be, right? He said, it shall come to pass, I'll pour my Spirit on who? All flesh. Has the Spirit been poured out on you? And then Jesus actually reaffirms this before the crucifixion. He told his disciples that he said, I got to get out of here because another comforter is going to come. And then it gets fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, right? Let's look at the screen. I think I have Acts 2, 1 through 4 up there, right? This is what happened. Read. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together, how? One place. and suddenly a noise, like a violent rushing wind came from heaven and it filled. What did it do? It filled the house. Remember, Pastor Shane was talking about that cloud, that glory cloud to come? It's amazing when God shows up, he fills the place. He's so big, he fills the place. When God shows up in your life, guess what he does in your physical body? He fills the place. When the Holy Spirit comes, he doesn't just get in your head, and he doesn't just not an ideology or some concept or something that you watched on a reel on Facebook or on TikTok and all those other talks and ticks, okay? But he fills the house. He filled the house. Everybody say he filled the house and say he fills this house. Okay, so he fills this house, right? And what happened? So he filled the whole house where they were sitting. So he filled the house before anything started happening. That's why we say, fill the house, Lord, fill the house. Oh, yeah, but he's in you. Oh, yeah, I get it. He can fill you. He can fill this room. His presence is in this room right now. He's in you, and he's in the room, too. Do you realize that? Because he can't be in you and not in the room. Now, if you walk into the room and he wasn't in that room prior to you walking into the room and you walk into the room, now he's in the room because you're in the room. Did you get that? That's not in my notes, but that was really good, Mark. I'll take notes on that. Read this. So the whole house was already filled. Then something happened. After the house was filled, what happened? Tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, distributing themselves, and a tongue rested on each one of them. Thank God they didn't have hairspray back then, right? And what happened? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what? Began. This is the first time it happened. It never happened before. This is where they began to speak. They never did this before. They've never been in that deep of a water. They've never been to that depth in God, right? They began to speak in what kind of tongues? Different kind of tongues, right? How did that happen? As the Spirit was giving them what? The ability to speak out. See, Pentecost was not merely a historical event. Oh, no, no. It was a historical event that we go back to, but it was a birth of the Spirit-filled church and the beginning of a promise that we are inheritors of today. He would that you all be filled. Everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, no one comes to the Father to get saved without the indwelling Spirit, but I personally believe if you have an issue with this, then go deal with it. I'm right and I know it. I'm just kidding. But I believe there's an infilling of the Spirit, and then there's something that's called a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a whole different thing, okay? I can puddle around in my frog feet and my goofy mask. I bought those. I literally threw them away. I said, I'm not doing that anymore. But I can do all that, but I never really got into the depths of God. And that's okay. I enjoyed it, you know? You're not a bad person if you don't want to go deep in God. You're just missing out on some stuff. You know, I said to Kat, and I say this all the time, and if you've been under the water, I said, why did God put such beautiful things down where nobody can see them? I mean, coral and fish, like red and yellow, black and white. They're all kind of fish down there, all kind of stuff down there going on. I'm like, nobody can see this stuff. Why did God put all this super cool stuff way down there? If you want to go see that stuff, guess where you got to go? Way down there. There's some things in God you're not going to see if you don't go way down there. If you don't go deep in God, you're going to, not that you're going to be anything bad, you're not a bad Christian. It's just, I don't know about you, but when I'm not afraid to go deep in God like I am in the water, because I know, man, there's some cool stuff down there. There's some cool stuff in God that you don't experience if you don't pray in tongues. There's some cool things that happen in your body. If you don't want to, does everybody pray in tongues? No. Could everybody? Yes. Do you go to heaven? Do you make it to heaven if you don't pray in tongues, sing in tongues, speak in tongues? Absolutely. I don't know how long you'll make it while you're down here. Because there's going to be times you don't know what to pray or how to pray. In the Spirit, as Pastor Shane said last week, makes intercession. I think he said that. If he didn't say it, he should have said it, but I think he said it. Did you say that, Shane? He doesn't remember. The only thing I remember is when the best line that he said in his whole message outside of all the scriptures was what his wife said to him. You remember what his wife said to him? When he was kind of freaking out about all that? She said, "Get used to it, buddy." That's, remember that? Do you remember that? Remember that? I hope he probably wasn't paraphrasing. No, and Emma, that's a quote with her name on the end of it. But you know, and I had a lady, this is several years ago, I was speaking in service, and she said, and I just, you know, I don't necessarily oftentimes pray or speak in tongues out loud if I'm in a microphone, but it just happened. You know, sometimes it happened. It just happened. She goes, "I didn't like it when you were speaking in tongues through the microphone." I said, "Why did you not like that?" She goes, "Well, I didn't know what you were saying." I said, "I'm serious, I'm not making up." I said, "Well, I wasn't talking to you." I swear. Whatever state of anger that woman had prior to talking to me went up on seven times hotter. It was like the fiery furnace. But I was serious. I'm not talking to you, you know? There's all kind of tongues. You know, people get messed up on the tongues thing. Every tongue that gets spoken should be interpreted. No, there's different kind of tongues. The tongues that they received at Pentecost was a different kind of tongue. They spoke in different languages. There's things in more in the scripture where it says there were unknown tongues. This is a tongue nobody knows because it's not even it's not Chinese, Japanese, Greek. It's not any of that. It's a language of the Holy Spirit. It's God himself speaking through you the perfect will of himself. So if you want to pray the perfect will of God, you pray in the Spirit. You're praying the perfect will of God. And Satan can't even do anything about it because he doesn't understand it. Isn't that amazing? You know what he understands? Oh, it's going to be a bad day. I got him right where I want him. Oh, man, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Doctor said I'm going to die. Well, he's got you. Oh, no. You know, if you don't know what to pray, you'd be sweating. You would not want to pray for yourself with the Holy Spirit's praying through you when you pray like that. Because I would like to summarize probably what the Holy Spirit would pray through me to God. Maybe I shouldn't even say this, but he'll probably say, it's me praying, and I'm saying, God, shut my mouth up. Make me be a better person. Make me love people more. I'm going to love. And that's the kind of stuff he can pray through you, and it's going to happen because that's the perfect will of God. You don't even want to say that. You don't even know what to pray, so the Spirit makes intercession with sometimes it's groans and all kinds. You just don't know. If people start making sounds, don't get freaked out about that. Just because people make a sound that you don't make that sound, don't get freaked out about it. You hear me? Right? Okay. Because some people said they pray in tongues. It sounds like Chinese. Hey, that's fine. Whatever. It's a different kind of tongue. Some people say German. I remember what was his name? Where's Slagle? He left. He's somewhere. He would know this. Who was it? Ron Dobemeyer. Remember Ron Dobemeyer? Anybody remember Ron? He was like Russian or something. He was real. Just because God does something with someone else that he doesn't do with you doesn't mean that what they do is wrong. They just might have went a little deeper than you did. Okay? Amen? Or ouch. Oh, come on, we got to move. Oh, my word, we got to move. So Peter said this. Peter declared, for the promise, look at this, Acts 2:39, read, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Here's a quote. I just came up with this a couple nights ago. As long as he's continuing to call people unto himself, that means he's also continuing to give the same thing in the same way to everyone today, just as he did back then. That's just the way it works. That's the facts, folks. That's the facts. That's not fake news. That's the facts. That's the facts. As long as he's continuing, if he calls people to himself, for as many as the Lord our God will call to himself, this promise of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is for all y'all. Okay, it's for all y'all, right? Okay, as many, is he still calling people? I said, is he still calling people? So if he's still calling people, is he going to do what he did back then today? I think it's going to happen. I don't think I know because I've seen it. I've seen it. And I'll tell you, this church is a phenomenon. You don't know. I'm not talking about anything bad by any other church. I remember one time, and Josh will remember this, I called him down in a service once, and maybe he doesn't remember he said this, but I'll paraphrase. He said, he talked about how the Holy Spirit, he's gone for a while and went all over the place, and he's here, and I had him come down front. He said something along the effect that churches don't allow the Holy Spirit to move like you guys let the Holy Spirit move here. You don't know it till you're gone. You go somewhere else. Not that we're anything. It's just that, but, you know, from inception, we've relied on the Holy Spirit, and we've seen manifestations of the Spirit, and it never freaked us out. We went, ooh, there's something else he does. There's something else he does. We didn't know he did that, right? Okay. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is still available, and I think it's one of the most undiscussed things for some reason that we need to let people know they need to be baptized in the Spirit. Jesus said, you will receive power. That's the word dunamis. We know that. That's dynamite. You shall receive a dynamite stick. You're going to be, did you ever hear a stick of dynamite go? Can you guys do that? I do that to a little kid. Can you make that noise go? Do you feel stupid? Yeah. Who cares, right? Sometimes to receive what God has for you, you have to suspend your skepticism because our skepticism can shut you off from what God has. I'm not saying you accept every crazy wind of doctrine. I left a service once. I think his name was Brother Buffoon. And Brother Buffoon was preaching up in his church. I'm not kidding you. This guy was a nutcase. And I went to hear him because my friend said, go hear this guy. And I went to hear him. And I got there just after worship. And he started speaking. And I just couldn't take it anymore. And I called Kat and I said, hey, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm sitting home. What are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm... service is over. She goes, it's over. I said, well, it was for me. Like, you know, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's not spooky or kooky? People. People can be spooky and kooky. He never intended it to be spooky and kooky, right? But you're going to get dynamite, okay? And I'm not saying you have to be loud and obnoxious and all that, because you're going to see in a minute here, we got to get to this. I might come back to it I don't want to skip this, so I have to tell you this. When we think of the manifestations of the Spirit, we think of tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, gift of all of work, you know, the nine, right? But the fruit of the Spirit are also manifestations of the Spirit. The thing is the fruit of the Spirit is what defines your character. And if you don't have the right character, I don't care what you do in the Spirit. If your character's off, if you don't have love, joy, peace, if you don't have those, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and not have that first number one, he only lists one, but I'd like to suggest it's fruit. So you can't separate the fruit. It's not fruits, it's fruit of the Spirit. It's in the singular in that context. Look it up. So he says love, because if he says love, he's saying love is gentle, faith. It's all the fruit combined in it. So if I say peace, I can't say peace and not have love. So you can't have one without the other, right? You can't have it. It's the way the fruit works. But fruit defines your character. And I see a lot of people that function in gifts of the Spirit and manifestation of the Spirit, and their character's all messed up. I can't buy it. I'm sorry. I'll shut it off. I can't do it. I can't go there, right? You got to have the fruit. Everybody say you got to have the fruit. Pastor Shane last week talked about the tongues, the manifestation of tongues. That's the voice of God. Why are we commanded to lay hands on people? Because we lay hands on people. It's actually the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through us. Now, when Jesus was here, it said that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. So Jesus says, I got to go, but don't worry. nothing's changing on that end. It's just, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He's going to manifest himself through you. Just like I manifested myself in the flesh, he's going to manifest in your flesh. These things I do, and even greater things you're going to do, because I go to the Father, right? Think of it like this. I have a glove, and the glove is really can't do anything on its own, right? But when I put my hand in the glove, I can start to do stuff. I can start to move, right? The glove can't do anything by itself, but when I put my hand in it, it can do all kinds of things. It's not the glove that's doing the moving. It's the hand inside the glove that does the moving or the acts. It's the Holy Spirit in us who's the hand who does the work. We have to make room for the hand so that every finger is filled, right? Because if I do this, there's that one part that's, if you have that one thing that's always just getting at you, you need to say, Holy Spirit, fill me. If maybe you're like this and you're just, I got to watch how that goes, and that might make a bad sign. So you have your hand, stuff's just flop. I'm just flopping around. You say, Holy Spirit, fill me, and he'll come in. And when he comes in, he gives you power, because now the glove, we're the glove, he's the hand. Now he provides the power. It's the Holy Spirit in us doing the work. So guess who gets the credit when the work gets done? The Holy Spirit. Oh, look who I healed today. If you say that, I believe you're almost in danger of hellfire. You got to give him all the glory, because without him, that's what happens. You're just a piece of nothing on the ground, right? He'll also give you power. One of the manifestations is the power to witness. And this is interesting as I was studying this. Do you realize that the disciples before Pentecost were really afraid to do stuff? Before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit was poured out? Before Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he denied Jesus 3 times. There were times that the disciples were in a room, they locked the door because they were afraid of what the people were going to do to them. They got in the door, hey, come on in, lock the door, right? But after they got filled with the Holy Spirit and they allowed the Holy Spirit to manifest through them in the way of boldness, boldly proclaiming the gospel, that same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times and heard the rooster crow preached after being filled with the Spirit, preached to thousands on the day of Pentecost. And we're recipients of that message that guy that denied Jesus said. But when he was filled with power, everything changed. Say, everything changes when the kingdom comes, right? The Holy Spirit gives believers courage to testify. You know, you can't go up to a stranger and tell them about Jesus without the Holy Spirit giving you power. Now, some people are good at that. Gary Sloan is the expert. If you want to know how to do that, talk to Gary. If you want to have a 2-hour conversation, say, hey, Gary, tell me about how you share the gospel with a stranger. Have you ever done that? Oh, you'll say, oh, I remember. And he has probably 17,547 stories about that. Right, Mary Ellen? Right? He has it, right? She knows. She lives with him. It's good. If you don't know how to witness, ask Gary. Ask somebody that does what you want to do. Ask him. Go talk to him. Hey, Gary, I'm afraid. I don't know how to talk to people. How do I share the gospel? What he'll probably say is, well, you just start talking. I don't know what his secret is, but you just show up and just start doing it, right? But the Holy Spirit gives us courage to testify, to witness, to proclaim Christ, even in the world we're living in. Have you shared the gospel with anybody? If you haven't, why not? Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, empower me to do what I can't do by myself, right? The Holy Spirit empowers believers to overcome temptation, walk in obedience, and to produce what's called the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say fruit of the Spirit. Do I have these up there? I'm not even sure if they're up there because I'm off my notes right now. If they're up there, they're up there. Fruit singular. All nine traits are interconnected. They grow together as one complete unified character of a person, right? So you have love. That's agape. That's unconditional, selfless, sacrificial love for God and others. How many of you know that is just not natural? Opposites attract, right? Right? If you get married, opposites attract. My wife is nice, loving, sweet, kind, organized. She's all that. Opposites attract, I'm telling you. I know what I'm talking about. If I need love by habit, I go, hey, Kat, would you talk to her? Would you talk to that lady? Because I don't want to offend her. One of my gifts, spiritual gifts, is offender, and I'm really good at that one, but I'm trying not to be. But you need the fruit of the Spirit. That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There's no different in reception or function in the gift of kindness than there is tongues and interpretation. There's no difference. It's all from the Holy Spirit. I like how the New Living Translation even brings it out that the fruit are from the Holy Spirit. These are fruits of the Spirit, right? Joy is a deep-seated, abiding gladness and peace that's independent of external circumstances. You can't have joy in the natural. Happy happens in the natural. Sometimes I like to say, things aren't going quite right. My happy's, cast that in here. My happy's a little crappy, but my joy is full. Why? Because joy is from the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. You can't take that away unless I give you permission. The devil can't steal your joy. You can give it to him. He can't take it. That's your strength, right? That's the power, right? Patience is the ability to endure delays, slights, and hardships without giving into frustration or anger. I think the Lord has a sense of humor because oftentimes he'll cause you to rely on the fruits of the Spirit when you're in front of somebody that you don't like. You'll be in front of somebody that just tried to rip your head off. And you're ready to rip their head off, right? Have you ever been there? Have you been there? You go, help me, Jesus. There's times I go, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You know? And then you got to pray for the fruit of the Spirit to manifest in you just like you would the gift of healings or tongues, interpretation of tongues, you know, knowledge, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all that stuff. You can't separate the fruit of the Spirit in a different realm from the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit only function properly, and we know this because Paul himself wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, all the gifts, yay! And then hold on, folks, you're doing okay, but you're a little off here. And a lot of people think that 1 Corinthians 13 is something cute to read at a wedding. It's not a wedding scripture. It's all y'all listen. Imagine like Pastor Jeff getting up here going, listen to me, you guys are okay, but you need to do it in love. You're not in love. If I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I sound like a drummer. No, all the drummers just hated me there. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, that's what it says. You missed it. But you got to have love. You got to have peace. You got to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, which is meekness, and self-control. That's the one I don't understand. We'll get there. I didn't mean I don't understand how to have self-control. I just don't understand why self-control is the fruit of the Spirit, and it says self, and it can't come from me. It has to come from him. I mean, you know, you can't control yourself by yourself. You need self-control to control yourself, and that comes from him. You got to pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, manifest self-control. I need self-control right now. I need this. And then all of a sudden, and you know, the person you're in front of when this, I don't care if you're manifesting a gift of the Spirit, you know, the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit, people look at you like you're some weirdo. That's just a normal response. Get used to it. You know, I remember, I gotta be careful. I'm looking to see if there's kids in our eyes. Pastor Ben and I were ministering up at Teen Challenges one time, and I was supposed to preach and have worship. Ben was on drums, and there were 58 guys in a room. We prophesied to 47 of the 58 guys individually during that service. I had one guy down front. He was down front, one dude. I didn't know him. And I just saw a vision of his house and stuff that happened, and I started talking to him. And then his buddy was in the back of the room. And one thing you don't do, they're not leaving because they don't like my message. It's time to get the kids. So the dude in the back hits his buddy. Here he is. I give a word to him. It's so spot on that it's freaking the guy out in the back of the room, right? Now, if you swear or say anything off color in Teen Challenge in a meeting, you're in your room. That's just you're in there the rest of the day. So I'll paraphrase. I'll go 5 feet above hell and say heck, okay? Because heck is only 5 feet above hell. So he said, how the heck's he doing that? Except he went 5 feet deeper out loud in Teen Challenge. And Pastor Ben was standing by him. He goes, that was just the Holy Spirit doing that. It's okay. And I said, don't take him out. They were going to take him out. I said, don't take him out. He's next. So he can. It was weird, you know. So when you see stuff, don't go, I don't know about that. I don't know. You know, it's so weird. If somebody's screaming at you and you pray the Holy Spirit manifests goodness and kindness and you do that to them, they're going to go, what's wrong with you? There's something weird about that lady. I was screaming at her, and now she's being nice to me. You know, the scripture says if somebody does something bad to you and you're nice to them, it's like heaping coals of fire in their lap. They don't know how to handle it, right? Okay. Manifestations of the Spirit. Self-control, the discipline to restrain impulses, passions, and desires to align with godly values. We've got to skip some there. The Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. He puts a love inside you that when it comes out, that's what a manifestation of the Spirit or the Spirit manifesting through you can do to accomplish what God wants to do in order to what? Help the person and build up the church. When you're in the midst of hate, say, Holy Spirit, manifest love through me in the name of Jesus. When all hell starts breaking loose, say, Holy Spirit, manifest peace. I need peace to manifest. I need the fruit of peace, right? The gifts of the Spirit cannot be disconnected from the fruit of the Spirit. They work in tandem. You have to have the fruit. The fruit's the character. I was talking to my friend, Pastor Bill Themelaris, who some of you know him. He's actually the senior pastor at Covenant Church in Pittsburgh. I said, hey, I'm teaching on the manifestation of the Spirit. Can you give me a good quote? And he said, well, my wife has the good quote. Are you ready for the quote? This is what she said. And I told him I was going to read this to you. She said, I don't care how much you speak in tongues if you're mean in English. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You got to have the fruit of the Spirit. That brings the character. All through the book of Acts, we see miracles, healings, deliverances, supernatural interventions. The Holy Spirit empowered ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things for God's glory. And God still demonstrates his power through his church today. Amen? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, it's on your bulletin if you look at that, in 1 Corinthians 12:17, there's a manifestation of the Spirit. And then we have all the gifts, word of wisdom, gift, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. These are revelation gifts. They reveal something. The power gifts are faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. They're called power gifts because they do something. So the Holy Spirit wants to reveal something to us. The Holy Spirit wants to do something with us. And the vocal gifts, which is prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, these are vocal gifts. They say something. So the Holy Spirit today, folks, wants to do several things. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to do things through you, and he wants to say things through you. How does that happen? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you. Here we go. We're going to land the plane. Ready? There's a screen, I think, for this. Ephesians 5:18 says this, be filled with, it actually says at the beginning of that scripture. Do you have it? Let's read this quick. Go. Read in tongues. Read in tongues. It's faster. Here we go. No, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to reckless indiscretion. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's in the Spirit, right? Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. That's Berean Christian standard there, right? John said, I baptize with water unto repentance, but one's coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to tie or touch. He, who's the he? Jesus. He will baptize you. Now, John was baptizing. When you baptize, how do you get baptized? How many of you have been water baptized? Water baptized? How'd they do it? Did they go, sprinkle thee? In the name of the, no. You know, churches did that out of convenience, and they messed with it. The Catholic Church really messed with water baptism more than you even realize. But in water baptism, John said, I baptismoed you unto repentance. I plunged you under in the water, but there's one coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to touch. Okay, he will baptismo, he will plunge you under in the Holy Spirit and in fire. There's two things, right? There's Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you. The same way you were water baptized is how you get Spirit baptized. And that's how you function in the manifestations, gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit. There's an old song. I'm going to sing this real quick. I remember Pastor Don singing this song, and when he said, when it got to the plunged part, he would always do this. Oh, yeah. Okay? You know this song? Let's go to the song. And it's interesting. I never viewed this song this way, but there's some interesting things in the hymns, right? You know this? This is not a speaking voice. This is a singing voice. Ready? Ready, choir? This is what it says. It says, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atone. Let's stand up. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Sing it with harmony. Come on. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due. Hey, let's do the Pastor Don thing. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Next verse. I heard about his healing. Here it is. Of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, and then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I don't know how. Then somehow Jesus came. What did he bring? To me the victor. Sing it out real big. Say, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me. He loved me ere I knew him. All my love is due. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, somebody give him a shout in the house this morning. What the church needs today more than programs and shows and all this other stuff that they get wrapped up in. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need believers who are filled with God's presence. We need the operation of spiritual gifts. We need boldness to witness. That only comes by the Holy Spirit. We need holy living. Study that one. Oh, my word. We need supernatural ministry. Not just good worship, not just good preaching. Oh, miracles, signs, and wonders shall follow them. Get ready. The same Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost is available today. The promise still stands. The power is still real. The gifts are still operating. And God's looking for people who'll say this. Do we have the prayer that I wrote out? Let's put that. Would you pray this with me? Can you read it? This is a prayer. Say this: Lord, fill me with your Spirit and use me for your glory. Manifest your Spirit through me so that I can be your representative here on earth to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. Read, to prophesy your thoughts to the people, to exhort, comfort, and console those that you put in my path, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord, and that Christ may be glorified. I'm calling on the manifestation of the Spirit to become active in my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you mean that when you prayed that? I want to end with this. My second ending. Preachers have lots of endings, you know. I was with Pastor Bill Carter, and he did something incredible in our class. And he called it Holy Spirit Confessions. He said, if you want the Holy Spirit to move in you, you have to talk to him, ask him. Say it with your mouth. Nothing happens in the kingdom till you say something, right? Here's one of them. Say this if you want to. Help me, Holy Spirit, to walk in greater friendship with you all through my day. Holy Spirit, you know everything, all at once, all the time, and I thank you for living big inside of me. Big inside of me. Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching me all things and showing me the more excellent way of doing life with you. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Holy Spirit, work through me to impact the lives that I come in contact with. I desire for the best gifts to be in operation in and through my life. Holy Spirit, thank you for your anointing dwelling in me, flowing in me, and flowing out through me to be a blessing to those I come in contact with. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being my standby. You are standing by, waiting to take hold with the words of my mouth and to help me with every area of my life to walk in victory and in God's best. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me into God's best for my life.